I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we were looking at the opening verses last week, but we're going to begin at verse 18. Matthew 9, beginning at verse 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman had a flow of blood. Suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned round, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and a noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the land. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." When he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marvelled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the ruler of the demons." There is our reading, and may the Lord bless it to us. The title for this evening is really "More Miracles," but we will consider the subject here of miracles and the attitude of the people who received, who witnessed these miracles. We are presented with four instances of the Lord Jesus' power and authority over nature. And first of all, in the order that they appear, the woman with a hemorrhage is healed. And second, the dead daughter is brought to life. The third, two blind men have their sight restored. And fourthly, a mute, demon-possessed man is freed, is able to talk again. And in all these things we see how great the Lord Jesus is. Aren't you glad that you have been brought to his side, that you are gathering with him and not scattering? There is no neutrality in the case of Jesus. We're either on his side or against him. And thanks be to God, through his grace and his mercy, we have been brought onto his side. And never was admiration better founded and better suited to a person than the Lord Jesus. He gives us ample evidence of his being the Christ, the Anointed One, in this passage. In so doing, he reveals the hearts of men and women as he went about his ministry. Now I would like to categorize these responses into three sections. Firstly, the faithful and submissive. Faithful and submissive. And secondly, faithful and yet insubmissive. And lastly, faithless and dismissive. So, first of all then, faithful and submissive. And here, I would put the woman who was healed and the girl's father. Now, both Mark and Luke give a fuller treatment of this episode. For a start, the father is named as Jairus, and though he's called a ruler here in Matthew, in there he's designated a synagogue ruler. So he's an important and influential man in the community. And then 12 years represent both the girl's age and the length of the woman's condition. And thirdly, Jesus asks, who had touched his garment, aware that power had passed from him, and the woman has to own up. Then D, the fourth part, the father's faith is almost quenched, but Jesus encourages him, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. Another point is that Peter, James and John accompany Jesus into Jairus' house. And then lastly, Jesus asks the parents to give the restored girl something to eat. Now, as we consider these accounts of these miracles, we see in the Lord Jesus' action, first of all, a word of encouragement. Do not be afraid, only believe. And that, as I said, is in Mark's and Luke's account. Then a word of revelation. The girl is not dead, but sleeping. A word of love and power. Little girl, arise, or talitha kumi in the Aramaic. Then, fourthly, a word of tender concern. Give her something to eat. We have then the Lord in command of the situation throughout. What seems hopeless to human eyes is an opportunity for God's glory. And what glory? Ultimately, curing the effects of Adam and Eve's fall. And the beneficiaries, in this instance, are two females. Interestingly enough, when the Jewish world of that time didn't lay great store on women, it's very interesting to note that it's a woman with a hemorrhage who was healed, and it was a girl of 12 years old who was raised from the dead. And man's extremity is God's opportunity. And who knows what the Lord will do in the instance of the troubles that we are experiencing at the present time. May equip the church and the church to respond and to show the love that he has first shown us. And so how loving the Lord Jesus is. And seen further in his words to the cured woman, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. As you look at the accounts you realize that she expected harsh rebuke. She came in trembling to admit that what she had done. And instead, her owning up, her honesty and faith are rewarded, and her life is transformed. You're told in the other accounts that she had spent a lot of money on doctors in vain. They've been unable to cure her. But the Lord Jesus, he can. In this section, we have those who believe are rewarded and obey. They carry out the Lord Jesus' instructions. And Jesus is Saviour and Lord to them. Matthew Henry observes on this passage, "If we do but touch, as it were, the hem of Christ's garment by living faith, our worst evils will be healed. There is no other real cure, nor need we fear his knowing things which are a grief and burden to us, but which we would not tell to any earthly friend." I thought that was very, very interesting, that we can trust our most grievous burdens to the Lord, and he will hear us, he will forgive, he will restore, he will heal according to his wonderful grace. So that brings us to the second category. Those who are faithful, full of faith, and yet insubmissive. And here I place the two blind men. Now, they believed. They replied, "Yes, Lord," to the question, "Do you believe that I am able to have mercy to cure the physical blindness?" And they do address him as Son of David. There is faith there. They receive the reward of their faith. And Hebrews 11 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." But they went against Jesus' instructions. They spread the news of their healing when he had ordered them to be quiet about it. Now, Jesus' messianic nature was open to misunderstanding and consequent misappropriation. There were reasons for not saying much about the healing. He wanted them to be quiet because it was all too easy for the Jewish people to try to make him king by force. We find that elsewhere in the Gospel. And this would mean falling in with one of Satan's temptations, that of being an earthly ruler, being offered all the kingdoms of this world. But as on another occasion the Lord replied, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so it is also a reply to this move to make him an earthly Messiah. Having faith then, and not submitting, wanting Jesus on our own terms. As Saviour, yes, but as Lord, no. It is a hard lesson, for we must count the cost. We can understand the men being overjoyed at seeing again, of course, but the test of genuine love is obedience. As John writes in chapter 14, "If anyone loves me," Jesus said, "he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will make our home with him." And it is a question of commitment, and one which I pray and hope that everyone will grow towards, even if they haven't attained it immediately. We acknowledge him as Saviour, but we must acknowledge him as Lord. And the third kind, faithless and dismissive. Now this does not apply to the mute sufferer of demon possession, but to those Pharisees who refused to believe. We had this morning, interestingly enough, in Acts 15, that there were some Pharisees who did believe. So it doesn't apply to all of them. We know that they were diligent in how they observed the details of their religion. But they could be more blind than the blind men. They said, "He casts out demons by the ruler of the demons." And they did not give glory and thanksgiving to God when they saw an obvious miracle. Instead, their hearts were full of jealousy. And this is the state of unbelief. Unbelief seizes on a minor detail and magnifies it into an excuse. I remember once explaining the gospel on a coach trip to a colleague who asked, and then asking at the end, "Well, will you believe?" And she said, "No, the church is full of hypocrites." And that was it. I'd explained the gospel and said all about the Calvary atonement for Lord Jesus Christ, and this person was put off by observing so-called believers or people she'd seen in church. But never mind the astonishing person of Jesus. It is Jesus whom we should focus on. Anyone coming to faith must look to Jesus and not look at anyone else. Only Jesus is perfect. And it is a paltry excuse to bring before the judgment seat of God. We are not asked to look at the church. We are asked to consider Jesus. We must do that. In Psalm 2, in verse 12, the psalm concludes with, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him." And these Pharisees saw the miraculous deliverance by the Lord Jesus of a man made mute by a demon. The power, authority and glory of the Lord was present before them. And yet they refused to believe. It ought to have opened their eyes, but instead it closed them. The performance of a miracle will not necessarily bring the witnesses of it to faith. Sometimes, as with the widow of Zarephath, who received her son back from the dead in the ministry of Elijah, but there is no guarantee. And James notes in his letter, in chapter 2, "Even the demons believe and tremble." They believe and are subject to Jesus, Son of God. Jesus can drive them out and send them into the abyss, as he proved time and again, and he does with this mute man. He delivers him and drives the demon out. They have to obey him. And then lastly, as a conclusion, the parallel passages in Mark and Luke lead into the presentation of the unforgivable sin, the blasphemy against the Spirit. So in Matthew 12, we have, in verse 32, "Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." And these are solemn, solemn words. I don't think there's any Christian who can read those words and not experience some kind of trouble. And it is good to consider soberly, to reflect on those words. And as some have been greatly troubled with it, I thought it good to end again with Matthew Henry's words, his observations on this particular sin. He writes, "Humble and conscientious believers at times are tempted to think they have committed the unpardonable sin, while those who have come nearest to it seldom have any fear about it. We may be sure that those who indeed repent and believe the gospel have not committed this sin or any other of the same kind, for repentance and faith are the special gifts of God, which he would not bestow on any man if he were determined never to pardon him. And those who fear they have committed this sin give a good sign that they have not. A trembling, contrite sinner has the witness in himself that this is not his case." I hope that is really helpful to you this evening, as we consider these amazing miracles that the Lord Jesus performed, and the responses that they elicited. Amen.